Time to get on set, walk the runway, and get scouted. ModelScouts.com proudly presents Model Talk Radio with your host, Aaron Marcus. In this program, you'll learn how to get discovered, find work, and navigate the business of modeling and acting. And now, here is your host, Aaron Marcus.
Hi, this is Aaron Marcus, your host on Model Talk Radio. For the next hour, we'll be talking about the acting and modeling industry, and this forum will give you the opportunity to learn, ask questions, and hopefully stop dreaming and instead begin the process of working as an actor and or model. Now, many people have mentioned to me how they were always interested in acting or modeling for themselves or their children, or were told that they should be in magazine ads or on TV, but just simply never pursued it. And perhaps they mistakenly thought they were too old, not tall enough, they didn't live in a major market, or maybe they had no idea how to go about doing this. What I found is that quite often, without the right information and guidance, people are simply too scared to pursue the industry. So by listening to this program, which will run every Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you will learn from me and my guests the best way to get started and or get more work in the acting and modeling industry. And with the 26-plus years I've been working as an actor and a commercial model, I'll share with you in an honest and practical way the best way to enter or advance a career on a part or full-time basis. If you have any questions during the show, feel free to call me toll-free at 866-472-5788. And if you have any problems reaching me during the show, you can always contact me through my website, howtomodel.com. Now, I'd like to welcome my guest, Jody Gordon, owner of Fusion Model Management in New York City. And Jody's discoveries are now working for many, many, many major clients, such as Dior, Chanel, Yves Saint Laurent, and just to name a few. And this boutique agency has become one of New York's top 10 model management firms. And models can contact Jody through either modelscouts.com or through Fusion Model website at fusionnyc.com. Jody, welcome to the show.
Hello there, Aaron.
Hi. Hey, so I've got a lot of questions for you. So first of all, when did you come up with the idea of opening up Fusion?
It all just happened by chance and luck, really. It was never a preconceived notion.
Now, you had mentioned to me that you were working as a model. You were working for Ford, I believe you said?
Yeah. 13 years ago, I was brought over from Australia to be with Ford to model.
And so were you working primarily in the States, through Europe, through Asia, or where exactly
were you working? I began in Australia, and I did very, very well in a very short amount of time. And I worked with a girl from Ford, and their agent saw me in the catalog and contacted the ad agency that I'd worked for in Australia, and then got in touch with my agency in Australia to have me come to New York.
Wow, that sounds like quite a difference in lifestyle. You said that you were from Melbourne, right?
Yep, I'm from a little town of 600 people in Melbourne.
And so how was that transition, going from this small town and all of a sudden winding up in New York City?
It was awesome. I loved it. I felt very comfortable in New York.
I'm sorry, you got adjusted to the fast pace, and that really was not very difficult for you?
No, it was amazing. It was like one of the most profound moments of my life, actually.
And so how did you make this transition from being a very successful model to opening up an agency?
Well, I had been working for myself in Australia. I had two hair and beauty salons before I'd primarily got into modeling. And in order to stay in America, I really wanted to work for myself. And the opportunity presented itself, and just one thing led to another. And like I said, everything just kind of happened by chance and luck. And thankfully, here we are still 9 years later.
That's incredible. And so, you know, it's interesting because a lot of times people, you know, hear the term agents, and you know, you see these ideas from people on television. Maybe if you could walk people through the process, and I know it's a very complicated kind of job, but even just some of the basic things, you know, like what time Do you open up shop? What exactly do you do? Maybe you could kind of start us on like a typical day of what you do as a fashion agent.
Well, we come into the office, check our emails, send packages. Our industry's become very email-based. Everything's become very online. Seldom do we even have phone conversations these days, which I find a little disturbing. I like it when you get to speak with the clients on the phone. We arrange the castings for the models to go out on the day before and have them go meet with clients at agencies, photographers, and see what happens.
So I assume you're also negotiating prices for different projects?
Correct, yep.
And I also assume you're working as a bill collector also, making sure that models get paid?
We have a collections guy for that. I couldn't wear those hats anymore.
Now, in the fashion world, I know in the commercial world, typically it can take up to 90 days to get paid for a modeling job. Does it work the same way in the fashion world?
It does. Unfortunately, it's one of the few jobs where you don't get paid the same day for your work. So it can be a little I find that's one of the most frustrating things for the models is when clients take over 90 days or take the 90 days. It's a little frustrating. So we all appreciate it when the clients pay within the 30.
Mm-hmm. Now, when I know you consider it a boutique agency. What exactly do you mean boutique?
Boutique means we're very selective about who we want to represent. We don't want to become a big corporate company. We want to stay pretty independent. We don't like having models that look like each other, so we don't want five of the one kind of model.
How many models do you represent?
Probably have like 45 guys and 25 girls. We're pretty small. And this way we find we can concentrate whether the model's not in town or out of town, we find we can still do good work for them. So they're not getting lost in the shuffle and they're being presented and promoted as, you know, they're not being forgotten about just because they're not in New York at that present time when we're working on something.
And if somebody has an interest in being an agent, well, what would you? I mean, certainly they're not going to go to college and major in agency work. How would you recommend that somebody
the
go about?
The people that we have hired brought onto Fusion so far are the people that intern with us that we train. I've employed people that come from an extensive background as an agent, and I've not found it successful. And the best success has come from the people I've actually trained that don't have the ego, that are eager, wanting to learn and wanting to be in this for, the long term.
It's interesting when you mention ego. Are there some pieces of advice that you can offer people so that, what do you expect of a model that's working for you?
The first point that I would like to tell people is, for me, the most important thing is it really comes down to trust. If we're going to work with somebody, they've got to trust. A model has to trust the agent as much as the agent trusts the model. And I really find that is the key ingredient to a successful, healthy, long-term relationship with a model and an agency. When a model, comes to me and they haven't seen any other agencies, I always encourage them to go around and meet everyone, and if they come back, then I know we're going to have a nice long-standing relationship because they've already seen what's out there. When models are wondering what other potential possibilities there are for them after a little bit of time working with you, it always ends up turning not to be very, very good. And our most successful models are still with us after 5 and 6 years because we have an amazing relationship and we trust each other. So I feel anyone should work with any agent unless they trust them and believe in them as much as the agent believes in them.
And so I guess when you tell a model, look, I don't think you should do this project because I think it's not going to be helpful to your career, or I know this is a very small paying job, but I think this is somebody that could be extremely helpful to you. Basically, you're saying, trust the agent, let them make the decision for you.
Yep, and even working with somebody, you have to be able to get along. You're dealing with each other on a day-to-day basis, and It's like a marriage, you know, it's a partnership, and any good business, you know, you have to have a healthy relationship. I mean, as some of my girls I talk to every day, if they're in Europe or, you know, in Australia or anywhere, I mean, they want me to be in touch with them all the time.
Mm-hmm. Wanted to find out, we are going to have to go to a break in about 20 seconds here. Would you happen to have about 10 more minutes to hang in there, or...
Nope, I have 10 more minutes. I can hear you.
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to take a really short break, and then we will be coming back talking more with Jody Gordon, owner of Fusion Model Management. I am Aaron Marcus, and looking forward to talking with you soon in about 2.5 minutes.
Thank you, Aaron.
Have you dreamed of becoming a top fashion or commercial model but don't know where to start? Or are you already a model looking to expand your representation to international markets? If so, then you need to check out ModelScouts.com. ModelScouts.com is the number one choice for aspiring models who want to get scouted by top modeling agencies and clients around the world. Our scouts have discovered and signed hundreds of new models, including supermodel Coco Rocha and Cycle 5 winner of America's Next Top Model, Nicole Linkletter, with the world's top modeling agencies. Our models have appeared in Vogue, Glamour, Marie Claire, and Cosmopolitan, and have worked for Chanel, Gucci, Prada, Abercrombie & Fitch, and more. If you've dreamed about becoming a model, look no further than ModelScouts.com. We want to meet you. No experience is required, and all ages, heights, and sizes are welcome. Visit ModelScouts.com and get scouted today. You are tuned in to Model Talk Radio with Aaron Marcus, presented by ModelScouts.com. Do you have a question that we can answer for you? Call us toll-free in North America at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to modeltalk@modelscouts.com, and we can answer your question that way. Now, back to Model Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Aaron Marcus, and welcome back to Model Talk Radio. We are talking with Jody Gordon, owner of Fusion Model Management, a really incredible fashion agency in New York. And I wanted to ask you, Jody, I was at your website, and something that you have there that really struck me, and I thought it was really very helpful for people, where basically you share information about some of the do's and don'ts of submitting photos to you. And I assume that you must get tons and tons of people trying to find representation with you, and I'm assuming they're sending photos to you. You must get some very unusual types of shots that are sent in, and I was just wondering if you could maybe elaborate on that a little bit and maybe just help explain to people what kinds of photos that would be very helpful for you to see, maybe the types of shots that should never be sent in to an agent.
Yeah, we prefer to see girls with no makeup, and we prefer to see people very natural. People tend to give us posing shots, stripper shots. We get all kinds of stuff. And then sometimes I'm just flabbergasted about what kind of people think that they can be a fashion model. I'm just like, what are these people thinking? Aren't they looking at magazines? Like, really? I'm now, astounded all the time.
No, I guess there are very specific height requirements and statistics that people have to have. What exactly do you look for a fusion
for model? For our men, we're looking really no shorter than 5'11", and seldom do we take someone 5'11". We're really looking for 6'1", 6'2", for guys, and well-proportioned bodies. We're not looking for, like, muscle wrestlers or any really big, big-built guys. And we prefer our males, like, pretty young to get them started, like around the age of like 16 to 20 for the male models to get them started, but we will take models that are older on the men's division. For the girls, we're looking for girls 5'10", 5'11", and we will take 6 foot. Seldom will we even take 5'9". We're really looking for girls that can do runway and high fashion. So, you know, they've got to be tiny.
So I'm curious. So you're working with a model. I'm assuming that you've got some ground rules for them, like they've got to be reachable, they have to be able to respond to you, they've got to show up when they're supposed to. Is that really much of an issue for you, or do you find that the people that you're working with...
The models that do well are the models that are reliable. Clients don't like flakiness, you know, if you're going to be at a job, be on time, because there's a whole team, you know, there's a whole production, and models forget it's not just about them, that the day people are spending money on the studio, they're paying the stylist, everyone's being paid to be on set, so every hour is costing somebody money. So when a model is an hour late, they're holding up the whole day, and so it's extremely important being on time.
I was just going to say that I know it hasn't happened that often, but there have been a few times I've been on sets and other models showed up late, and I'm still on the clock, so I'm still getting paid. And sometimes they've actually taken the extra money out that they have to pay a number of people on the set from the model who shows up late. Does that really happen very much in your world?
No, not often. I wish it did, though, because it would make models a lot better.
So I was wondering, a model gets a job. They're very excited, and they want to show their appreciation. Would it be, like, really unusual or not really proper to send you a gift? Or, I mean, what is the protocol for that?
No, we don't really expect anything because we make our commissions. It's our job to get our models work. You know, the models that are earning really good money with us always buy us lovely gifts at the end of the year, which is always appreciated because, you know, we have to work really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And the models work really hard too, but it wouldn't be happening if it wasn't for us pushing them, you know. So it's
definitely,
it's nice to be appreciated. Even like a simple card with a little bit of gratitude goes a long way.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But we just like to do our job because, you know, if our models are busy and working, it's a win-win for everybody, you know?
And then what would you say to a model who, you know, they've been working with you for a while and then all of a sudden it's just dead, nothing is really going on. What would you say to the model to try to help things happen, or what would you like the model to ask of you or act with you when things are slow?
Well, I have a good example. We had a girl last year. The last few years before last year, she was earning really good money and doing really, really well, and her career was, you know, climbing rapidly. But then she got into her head that she wanted to change her hair. She wanted to grow it out, and she wanted to perm it, and she wanted it to be curly. And she's got a very unique, distinct look. And, once she started wanting to make all these changes, her chart fell off. Like, she wasn't working. So then after 6 months, she wanted to have a meeting. Why aren't I working? And I said, I think it's because your look, you know, it's like people want to see this person because it's what, you know, makes you really different and stand out from the other models. So we moved it all back in January to our old hairstyle, which is how everybody knows her. And since we've done that, her career is moving again. So sometimes it's just like, got to keep what's working, you know, not making drastic changes when your career is going good. And sometimes models get antsy and are like, I want to chop my hair off. I want to dye my hair.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be like, listen, you're going to hurt your career if you do that. But sometimes we can't tell them and we can't control a human and tell them what they can and can't do. If somebody wants to chop their hair off, I have no control over it. All I can
sure.
do is advise. And 9 times out of 10, we're right, because we know what clients want. This is what we do, you know. So it can be very frustrating for us, and then we have to be the ones told you so, and that doesn't feel good either. Do you know what I mean?
So I guess even for the ones that don't make... But even the ones that don't make any change, but for whatever reason, they're just not getting any work. Would it be inappropriate for them to call you and say, hey, what's going on?
Modeling.
Are you sending
they
me
should,
out? Or,
they should stop modeling.
Or do they set up
like,
an appointment
you can,
with you? I mean, what takes
water.
Place?
I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, I was just wondering. So when somebody is doing everything that, you know, you've told them to do, but they're still not getting anything, do you get phone calls from them? You know, they're kind of starting to blame you for not making things happen for them and, you know.
Sometimes, seldom, because most of our models are busy, you know, like, I don't know. It's very seldom. I mean, if someone's career is not moving, it's normally to do with them. It's not due to the agency. Like, some people's personalities can be awkward and we have to really work hard on changing it with them. And sometimes it's just quiet moments. You know, if a model's like a full-time model, then we try and send them to another market if things look like they're going slow for them, where they can be busy. We try to keep, you know, their career moving by having them in other parts of the world.
And so I guess, you know, with something you had said earlier where you are very selective as far as who you bring in, you do not bring in, you know, basically the same look and type and have multiple people. So I guess when people are submitting photos to you and they might not hear back from you or they get a, you know, thank you very much, but we're not interested in this time. You know, I guess it's very important for them to understand. There might not be any statement at all about how successful they might be. It might simply be due to the fact that you already represent somebody in their category and that you're not going to.
Yep. Or they're just not right, you know. They're just not right. It's not personal. Just if we don't think you're right for us, then there's nothing we can do. Because if we're not going to be excited about somebody we represent, then it's going to be very hard to try. Because it's a sales job. At the end of the day, we're selling humans, which I believe selling a human is much harder than selling a vacuum cleaner.
Why is that?
You're dealing with a personality. You're dealing with a certain look. You're dealing with a whole lot of stuff. So it's not just like a product. You're trying to sell a whole package of a human, and they're not the most humans are not that reliable. So for us, if we're going to try and sell you to a client, we've got to love you because we have to talk you up and we have to get somebody excited. So if we're not excited, we're not going to do a very good job promoting you, you know.
So now, would it be possible you already represent somebody in a certain category, you see another, you know, photo come in and you go, wow, this person looks beautiful, but we already have somebody in that category. Would it be, you know, inappropriate for them to perhaps contact you, you know, in another month or 2 months? Hey, is that person still there? You know, or are you interested now?
We'll take part in the opportunity, you know. Like, if we really like somebody, we're not going to say, oh, hit us back in a month. We're going to be like, come on in and meet us. No, it doesn't work like that. If we're going to like you, we're going to like you, whether we have somebody similar or not.
Got it. And maybe you can just list a couple of the people that are working on campaigns right now that our listeners can follow.
Yeah, we have a few boys holding some great options, like Louis is up for the Cole Hand campaign. One of our boys, Ned, is shooting the Toomey Men's campaign next week. Another boy is on option for the Joseph Abood campaign in 2 weeks, which is Tony. Randy just shot a Ralph Lauren denim campaign.
Wow.
Paul has the cover of Turkish Vogue coming out, shot by Ellen von Unworth, and a bunch of other things coming out. Tao is on the cover of Fashion Easter with a 10-page story. Another boy
you
has
are
a
busy.
Adidas campaign come out. One of our girls is in the new Kenneth Cole campaign. Another one of our girls, Jasmine, is in all the magazines right now with the Vivienne Westwood campaign. Another girl is out in the Equinox campaign, shot by Terry Richardson. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on.
That sounds like it. Well, right before we head on off to break, I just want to thank Jody Gordon one more time. She's the owner of Fusion Model Management, just an amazing fashion agency in New York. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And when we come back after break, I'm going to be opening things up. People can fire away any questions they have. And we'll talk more about the acting and modeling industry. I am Aaron Marcus, host of Model Talk Radio, and I look forward to talking with you soon. Thanks so much again, Jody. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on the show, Aaron.
you dreamed of becoming a top fashion or commercial model but don't know where to start? Or are you already a model looking to expand your representation to international markets? If so, then you need to check out ModelScouts.com. ModelScouts.com is the number one choice for aspiring models who want to get scouted by top modeling agencies and clients around the world. Our scouts have discovered and signed hundreds of new models, including supermodel Coco Rocha and Cycle 5 winner of America's Next Top Model, Nicole Linkletter, with the world's top modeling agencies. Our models have appeared in Vogue, Glamour, Marie Claire, and Cosmopolitan, and have worked for Chanel, Gucci, Prada, Abercrombie & Fitch, and more. If you've dreamed about becoming a model, look no further than ModelScouts.com. We want to meet you. No experience is required, and all ages, heights, and sizes are welcome. Visit ModelScouts.com and get scouted today.
Hi, this is Aaron Marcus, and welcome back to Model Talk Radio. And for the next two segments, I'm going to be opening up things, and people can fire away any questions that you have about the acting and modeling industry. And we've got a call from Greg in Oregon. Greg, nice to have you on the show.
Hello, Aaron. I love your radio show. Thank you so much for your time. The reason I'm calling is I enjoy working part-time as an extra for TV shows. However, I'm still very new to the industry. I got my start going through a local company which casts extras, but they charge me a yearly fee and they don't send me as much work as I'd really like, maybe a couple times a year. Usually the work only pays minimum wage and it's really long hours. I have a lot of fun, but what I would like to know is there a better way? Is it available to be a professional extra with maybe an agent? Or at that point are you technically pursuing acting work? Or are there other ways that I could get part-time work rather than going through this local company?
Okay, well, I've got a couple of ideas for you. And one is, if you ever decided that you would like to join the Screen Actors Guild, which is it's SAG, or AFTRA, the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, if you became a member of those unions and you worked as an extra, you would not be making minimum wage. It's actually, and I believe it can vary from market to market, but it is about $139 for an 8-hour day, which is certainly a lot more than minimum wage. And then you also get all the benefits of being a union member. For the 9th and 10th hour that you work, you get time and a half. If you work an 11th and 12th hour, you will get double time. If you work more than 16 consecutive hours, which is considered golden time, you start making a full day's pay per hour. And then there are also just other rules and regulations that help protect the actors, unlike the non-union actors. Everything from every 6 hours, you have to be fed. There has to be working bathroom facilities, you know, near you and things like that. So here's what you could do. One is, well, let's say you're not quite ready to join the union, and I can tell you a little bit more about unions in a few minutes, but maybe what you could do is instead of paying a yearly fee to a company that just does the casting, maybe you could go directly to the production company. So if there's a television show that is being shot in your area, maybe you could find out who is doing the extras casting and not go through basically like a middleman and go directly to the show and let them know that you are very interested in doing some extra work. Do you have a headshot put together at this point?
It's a very old headshot, couple of years.
Okay. Do you still look like that photo?
Similar. I should probably update it.
Okay, well, if it's kind of similar, but the main thing is it's absolutely crucial that you look like your photo, because if they are going to be casting you and bringing you in, even as an extra, they need to know what you look like today. So what I would do is I would contact the production company of the television show and, you know, ask them who's doing extras casting. And sometimes they have open calls, in which case they are seeing new people. Sometimes they will ask you just to mail in your headshot and make sure that you've got contact information there. I've heard horror stories from casting directors who've received headshots and resumes from people, and they forget to put their phone number on there. So make sure there's a phone number and or an email address if that's the better way for people to contact you, and let them know that you are interested in doing extra work. Now, if it's for a film, one of the things that you can do, and I don't know if you're familiar with the Film Commission in Oregon. I'm sure there is one because I know there are movies that are being shot there. Do you have any contact with the Film Commission there?
I don't know. My only contact is with this one agency, this one company.
Okay. Well, what you can do is, and I'm sure you can just Google this very easily, is just, you know, type in Film Commission for Oregon and then go to their website. They probably will be listing any projects that are coming to the area. And once again, find out who's doing extras casting. So if you go in there, even if it's non-union, if you're going directly, then you'll be making more money because you also won't be, you know, paying any additional fees.
Right.
Now, I can also tell you if you decide to join the Screen Actors Guild or AFTRA, their number one rule is once you become a union member, you can only do union work, union acting work. Now, they don't care about commercial modeling work, but if it's an acting job, it's got to be union. So you've got to make a decision for yourself. Are there many union projects being cast in your area? If it's a network television show, then typically they're going to hire a certain amount of union and non-union extras for every project. And the same with movies that come to town. So that might be a way for you to continue doing some extra work, but making a lot more money than just getting minimum wage. And you will get treated better if you do decide to go union.
Wow, excellent. Thank you very much.
Hey, my pleasure. Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay, we've got a phone call from Alex, and Alex wants to know about dealing with legitimate agents. Alex, welcome to the show. Oh, it's an email question. So the question is, how do you know if an agent is legitimate? Wow. Well, that is a very complicated question. There are many things that you can do to try to make sure that your agent is legitimate. Number one, the golden rule is agents make money by taking a percentage from any booking that you get. And except for one exception to the rule, that is the only time you will pay an agent any fee. Once again, if you book a job, you pay your agent a percentage. And those percentages will vary depending on whether you're in the union, you're not in the union, whether it's a modeling job. And basically, here's how it works. If it is a modeling job, typically you will be paying your agent a 20% commission fee. So if you are meeting with an agent, they're talking to you about charging $200, $300, $400, $500 for upfront fees to cover their expenses. That would concern me greatly. If it is a acting job, typically if it's non-union, you will also pay a 20% commission fee. And that can vary slightly because there is no union regulation for that. If you are a member of the Screen Actors Guild, as of today, you are only allowed to pay your agent a 10% commission fee. Now, that could change at some time period, but for right now, you are only allowed to pay a 10% commission fee. The only other time that you would pay your agent anything aside from the commission fee, and that is if the agent offers a website, and then you would be paying a fee to be on the website, and that is a very helpful way for your agent to market you. And I know, like for instance, for modelscouts.com, you pay a fee to be on their website, and one of the things that they will do is they will also give you information about your photos. They will help connect you with larger agents or even agents in your area. So aside from paying the percentage and being on an agent's website, if you were being asked for any other upfront fees, that would make me very, very nervous. So anyhow, that's one of the key ways of finding out whether an agent is legitimate or not. Now, I noticed there was another question that popped up. I'm not sure if that is a call or another email question, and it had something to do with animals. And let me see if I can find that real quickly. There's a question from Brooke. Have I ever worked with animals? Well, that's a very interesting question. Yes, I have. And most of my experience with animals have been wonderful. I love animals, love being around animals. But let me just tell you, when you're first getting started, and if you are creating test shots, and these are sample photos, these are not, you're not being hired to do an ad, I would not recommend working with an animal because it can be very tricky. Animals are very unpredictable unless they are a professionally trained animal. And there is a trainer on the set. They know exactly what to do. So if you're setting up a shot and you're thinking, well, I want to do a shot with my dog and maybe I can possibility. Maybe this is looks like an ad for dog food and I want my dog to do certain things and sit in certain positions. You might be spending a tremendous amount of time trying to get your dog to do exactly what is necessary. It's the same thing with infants. It's really tough working with infants. It's hard to get them to do exactly what you need them to do. So when you're first setting up shots, I'm not saying you shouldn't have other people in the photos, but I would stay away from working with animals and little kids. And when we come back from the break, I'll share with you a really interesting story that I had with a capuchin monkey that I did. It was an ad for a bank, and it was a pretty frightening experience. So when we come back from the break, I will start talking about my capuchin monkey story and also be ready to answer any other acting or modeling questions that you might have. So once again, this is Aaron Marcus, and I am on Model Talk Radio. Looking forward to talking with you again soon. Hi, this is Aaron Marcus. Welcome back to Model Talk Radio. I am the host, and if you have any questions, feel free to call in at 866-472-5788. And right before the break, I was asked a question about working with animals, and I was going to share an experience that I had with a capuchin monkey. And to make a very long story short, I just assumed that this was a professionally trained animal, and we did 7 photos for the photo session, and after the 7th shot, this little Freddy, the capuchin monkey, who fortunately, like me, jumped off of my shoulders and bit the assistant photographer on the arm. It was pretty frightening. They had to rush the guy to the emergency room, and I mean, everything worked out okay. And so basically, one of the things that you need to do when you get a phone call about a booking, there's a list of a number of questions you want to ask your agent. You know, besides what product it is, to make sure that you're comfortable working on this project, you want to find out the date, what kinds of wardrobe you need to bring. Will they have a makeup artist, or do you have to bring your own makeup? And you also need to find out. I mean, your agent certainly will be telling you, hey, look, there's going to be an animal involved. Are you comfortable in doing this? And you want to be honest with your agent. You do not want to lie. I've heard of horror stories where models have said, oh, yeah, you know, I can ride a horse. That's not a big deal. And you know, they're thinking, really, how hard can it be? And I remember a photographer told me this story where this model, and this is a huge ad campaign, was supposed to be riding on a horse and her hair is flying back, and she just figured, really, you know, I'm just going to sit on this horse. It's not going to be difficult. Well, they rented out this horse farm. They go out there, and all of a sudden they told her to get on the horse, and she didn't realize how huge those animals are. They're really big animals, and she just freaked out. She got fired. The agent told her they would never work with her again. So the important thing is make sure you're really honest, and if there's something you can't do or don't want to do, let your agent know up front. And as it turns out, what I didn't realize, I just assumed it was a professionally trained animal. It was a pet of somebody. And I ran into that one other time where they said, you're working with a dog. And I'm thinking, well, this isn't going to be a problem. And because I love dogs. And as it turns out, it was a pit bull, and it was a friend of a friend. And this pit bull is growling and scaring me to death during the shoot. So you might want to ask just to make sure it's a professionally trained animal. I see we've got a phone call from Howard. Howard, welcome to the show.
Hi, Aaron. Thank you so much for this show. This is so interesting. I just fell across it, and You know, I think many of us out here have thought sometimes of doing something about acting, and we have these thoughts, they run through our mind, and then we really don't know what to do with that, you know, how to even approach anything. So this is a wonderful service. I really appreciate the show a lot.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Here's the thought that I had. My wife and I, we have a 5-year-old son, and I'm sure this is true for most people. We think our son is so beautiful, and, you know, we see these ads on TV, and we think to ourselves, boy, our son could do that, or, you know, he could have pulled that off. What would really be the process by which we could find out whether our son would have any possible talent at pulling off a commercial or being involved in the commercial industry?
Well, I can tell you one of the things that I would do up front is make sure that your child really wants to do this. I've worked with kids, and most of the time they are having a great time. They love being in the ad. And every once in a while, I've worked with a child who very clearly has no interest whatsoever in doing this ad. And it's either a mom, most of the time in my situation, I found it to be moms are kind of like pushing the kids, and sometimes it's the moms that are trying to live vicariously through their children. So make sure.
Have you been at our house?
You just want to really make sure that your child enjoys doing this, is comfortable. You don't want to terrify a young child. So assuming that your kid really likes to do
this.
Well,
how would we even find that out? Like, you know, how would we put our child into a situation where we could even discern that?
Yeah, it'd be very, very easy. In your area, you want to find either an agent that works with children and represents children. Sometimes there are some agents that do not represent kids, in which case you want to find a manager who does represent kids in the particular geographical area that you live in.
Well, how would we find that? Oh, I mean, I know you were just talking about legitimate agents and that sort of thing. How would we go about even finding a person who is legitimately working in the field and someone who's a real professional who does?
Well, there are a variety of ways that you can do it. One is if you go to my website, howtomodel.com. I have a listing of agents there. You can also go to modelscouts.com and speak with them and see if they know of any agents in your particular area.
On your website, you'd have
yes.
a list of people.
I have a link that says find an agent.
Oh my goodness.
The other thing that you could do, you could always try calling going to the Screen Actors Guild. And that would be SAG.org, and find out if they have a listing of any agents in the area. And then
now,
what you're going to do.
On your website, have these been agents that you've had personal or professional contact with?
Some I have had contact with, some I have not. And so I make it very clear I'm not recommending any of the agents on the website. But if you do read my book, How to Become a Successful Commercial Model, you'll read the chapter about agents, and in which case you will know what questions to ask, like making sure you're not paying upfront fees and things like that. And, you know, a lot of times what it really boils down to is using your gut reaction. And if something doesn't quite feel right to you, trust your instincts. And so once you set up an appointment and actually meet with the manager or the agent, you know, your child will know very clearly, and you'll be able to observe your child and see whether can they talk to an adult, if they're given any words to say, copy for a TV commercial, are they able to read it at all?
Uh-huh. Now, should we just take our child to somebody, or should we have, you were calling them what, headshots? Should we have a picture of him, or should we just take him? How should we do that?
What you're going to do, it's a long, complicated process, but essentially the short version is agents need to see photos. They